We'll each have one apple. But if Commissioner Leonard and City Auditor Levon Griffin Velade have an idea and the IPR have an idea, and we exchange these ideas, then each of us will have two ideas. And if we take these two ideas and integrate them into one idea, a new city ordinance, then and only then will we have something better for the Portland Police Bureau and we, the people. Thank you, sir.
Thank you all for your testimony.
Next three are Greg Cafori, Kevin Howard, and David Cox. They will be followed by Molly Alishire, Jesse Cornett, and Joanne Kindred.
Good evening. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. Mr. Cafori, please begin.
I practiced law for 35 years in Portland. Our firm reviews police cases and occasionally takes one. My son, Jason, is an attorney with us, and he's been working with the Albina Ministerial Alliance. From our vantage point, we observe a culture in the police department which is dominated by the worst of the officers, and a culture which imposes on the best of the officers a complicity of silence. In the case which Commissioner Leonard has spoken of, Barbara Weick, I was her attorney. She was a sweet, gentle soul who ran a tiny coffee shop. She was given a ticket. She pleaded with the officer to make it a warning because of her poverty, and he refused. As she's leaving, he mocked her. She responded with a very mild epithet. He got in his motorcycle, chased her down, hit her so hard in the face that she had black and blue from the hairline down to the shoulder blade. She had he grabbed her arm and twisted it and bent it, using the side of her pickup as a fulcrum, fracturing her arm. This was over a seatbelt ticket. You people approved $150,000. And she moved to Idaho, where she now lives in a rural community because she's so afraid of police. And the officer is doing great. We have Mr. Clay here. Alex Clay was a plaintiff who, along with two colleagues, was jacked around and harassed, handcuffed, had guns pointed at him by three officers. And they hadn't done anything wrong. They were kept for an hour. Searched, terrorized. The scene was, unbeknownst to the officers, witnessed by a couple of white college kids, and they testified as to every dispute between the officers and the civilians, and they were legion. They sided with the three young African Americans. The police awarded the jury awarded $175,000. You have the Oregonian story in front of you, and the next day, when the story was reported, it reads, Detective Mary Wheat, a police bureau spokeswoman, said after the verdict that, quote, officers were concerned about the public safety and their own safety and making sure nobody got hurt, and no one did. That's an endorsement. When I hear the chief say that complaints are down, I have to say, well, it's only because people have no faith in the system. You know, why should anyone complain in the system as it's been working? Everybody knows the names of people who've been killed by the police. Can anybody in this room name an officer who's ever lost their job for abusing a citizen? I can't. I don't hear it from anybody. Whereas you have to imagine, what does it mean when the worst of officers know that their job is safe no matter what? What does that mean for our force?
So, Mr. Kfari, if I could have you wrap up.
I will. Finally, let me say that the police training has to be changed. The policy and the training, firefighters are expected to place themselves in harm's way to protect mere property. And police officers, upon almost any risk at all, are entitled to use deadly force. That has to be changed. And we have to deal with the worst of our officers in order to make space for the best. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Howard.
Kevin Howard, businessman and member of the AMA, Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. I applaud you, Randy Leonard, for your proposal. I think it's a good start. But I'm stunned, kind of, because just the other day there was a rally, a situation that was going on in the city of Portland. And it was a prime situation because of the policy and procedures that Portland police have, that someone could have gotten shot but never got shot. It was volatile. It was violent. Things got tore up. But no one shot a taser. No one shot a gun. None of that went on. The same policy and procedure went on, and the young man walking away got shot in the back. A young lady, 11 years old, got beanbagged. But just the other day, the city of Portland could have got tore up downtown. That was amazing to me. The same policy and procedures in effect. I ask you today to please put this ordinance into effect. We as citizens need it, because as a businessman and as a grandfather and a father, I am scared. Only safe place I got right now is being in this room. And I'm not too sure of that. But I'm concerned of the fact that there's no accountability. And I believe that the IPR should have the kind of power to be able to investigate, to be able to look into these kind of things, to know what's going on, so we can have a working relationship instead of separation between citizens and City Hall. I believe also that the issue of accountability is very important. And I also believe there are good police officers in the city of Portland. I believe that. I don't think that all the police officers are bad. But I believe that those bad apples is making everything else look bad. And it's making it look bad for you. If you continue to shoot us, we can't be able to pay you. And they'll run out of a job. So I think if you put some, you know, some balances in place, I think the citizens would be more, a little bit more at ease. And I believe that we can have a working relationship. And my grandbabies would be able to play, you know, in a park, or be able to ride their bikes up and down the street and not be fearful of if they're going to get hit by a bullet or a stray bullet from the Portland police. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Howard. Mr. Cox.
Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I'm David Cox. I'm a resident of the Piedmont section of Portland and a member of the AMA Coalition. I also support this effort to strengthen the independent review process, but also agree that this is only a first step and much more needs to be done. As an ordinary citizen, I join with many other members of our community in being appalled by these recent deaths at the hands of police. We are losing confidence that police are making the right decisions. We want to find a better way for both the police and for our community. We should change the rules of engagement, as suggested by Judge Edward Jones just a few days ago. The current law regarding excessive and deadly force seems way too vague and therefore too lenient. There's too much training on the firing range and too little training on non-lethal intervention, or what you might call compassionate response, to diffuse difficult situations. There is no law on the books that says the consequence of not obeying or not following police commands is death, yet that seems to be the practice. What we do have with the PPB practice is shoot first, ask questions later, of shoot to kill, and not how can this be peacefully resolved. According to the police tactics instructor who testified at the Aaron Campbell grand jury, police are routinely trained in so-called threat assessment, which I believe results in officers putting their own safety first and foremost and public safety after, with tragic results. In Portland, we do have a well-trained, well-equipped, and well-paid police force who, for the most part, do their jobs professionally and competently. That's been my own personal experience. However, these deaths by police mean something is going wrong, even when one acknowledges the actions of the victims as a contributing factor. The command and control elements of the PPB are lacking both in providing direction to officers on the scene and allowing situations to escalate, as happened in the Aaron Campbell incident. What we really need in our community are first responders who are competent, brave, and trained to defuse potentially dangerous situations without the inappropriate use of excessive or deadly force. Let us all, elected officials, the police union, and the community at large, work together to make Portland safer for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you all for your testimony. Appreciate it.
The next three are Molly Ellishire, Jesse Cornett, and Joanne Kindred. And they'll be followed by Woodrow Broadnax, Derry Jackson, and Reverend Renee Ward.
Good evening. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. The first name was?
Molly.
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm Molly Ellishire. I'm here to talk a little bit about something that's very personal to me, and so I might get a little bit teary. This ordinance is pretty important to me. About 4 years ago, our closest friend, Ray Gorder, was shot and killed by a Portland police officer in our home while he was feeling suicidal, while he was experiencing a mental health crisis. He was shot in the back while following instructions of another police officer, and after he was shot, he was then tased. It's unclear whether or not he was alive or not when he was tased. But either way, as a human being, and I kind of look at everyone else, it's not the way that any of us would want somebody that you love and care about to be treated with, no matter what the circumstances. For me, it was a huge change in terms of losing trust in an institution that I've always had a lot of trust and respect for. I think that the majority of officers are there good people trying to do good things, and they're in hard situations. But for me, I lost a lot of trust, and I lost trust through the process of what I saw. I really look at this ordinance as a first step in there being some acknowledgement that we as a community can do better. We as a community have concerns, and I guess I personally need to know that there is going to be some kind of objective body out there that can look at situations that I'm going to feel like that I trust at times where I'm not feeling like I'm trusting the actions of the police force. So I'm very much in support of the ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thanks for coming in. Very much. Mr. Cornett?
I'm Jesse Cornett, and as Molly said, when something like that happens on your back porch, it changes your perspective radically. I was somebody who thought I would go into law enforcement as a career, and come here to say that I think a majority of those who choose to go into the police profession are wonderful people. Unfortunately, there's a teeny majority that stain the badge for every officer and tie the hands of this commission where you have no choice but to enact stronger review. I applaud the auditor. I applaud Commissioner Leonard. I understand in the commission form of government, it's not easy to go into another commissioner's bureau when the leadership isn't as active as it should be responding to the needs of the public. So thank you for that. Listening to the chief talk this evening was jarring, hearing her try to use budget as a concern, as a reason for not going about this. That's of the most shallow reasons I've ever heard for not making sure that we're protecting lives and ensuring accountability. And I have to say on that note that I'm disappointed that far too few of the many officers of the command staff who felt it important to sit here and listen to other city bureaucrats and you talk didn't hesitate to dart for the door when it was time for citizens, for Portlanders, to actually start expressing our opinions about this measure. I think that there's a lot that can and should be done. I applaud this effort and hope you'll all support it tonight. There's much more that we can do, from recruiting, training, and many other steps that will stop the need to even get to this point, and hopefully we can turn to those next. And in the middle of everything else that I'm doing in my life right now, to be accused of trying to find political gain out of a situation like this and a topic like this comes from somebody who could never imagine picking up bloody gloves off of your back porch after the police have taken your best friend and roommate to the morgue. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Ma'am.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioner, City Council. My name is Joanna Kindred, and my daughter was a 12-year-old girl that was shot by the police with a beanbag in November. There's not enough time for me to speak my mind on how I feel about that. I will keep it short and say that there obviously is something wrong with the way the situation was handled with a child. It's upsetting as a mom that you have officers who are supposed to be trained and go through several trainings that because a child takes a swing at them, that you have a grown man punching your daughter in the face and admits in his police report that he used a closed fist striking my child several times in the face before they slammed her concrete face down to the ground while another officer stood over and shot her. There was no threat to those officers at that time, and that kind of force should not have been used. And how do I raise my other children to have trust in law enforcement to respect them when they treated my firstborn this way? To picture your own child being out there the same night, you would hope the officers would treat your child differently because this is someone you love and you gave birth to, and they're a child. A lot of things they don't know better and they have to learn. But police are to show integrity and loyalty and honesty to the citizens in which they serve. And I did not see the integrity or loyalty when he was punching my daughter in the face, regardless of what she did. There was no honesty. There was no respect there. And that is their job to perform that. If it was your husband who got shot in his yard after losing his brother, your heart would be tormented. There's different actions the police can take, and it's not saying that all police are wrong. There are some really outstanding officers I've met personally and I respect and I like to this day. It's hard to have a camaraderie with those officers and call them up and say, how are you doing, when I have officers that have reacted this way to my daughter. And unfortunately, my heart goes out to the families of lost loved ones because officers did not take right actions. Lethal force should be the last kind of force they use. They go through so many trainings, and they should use every other aspect before using deadly force and lethal force on someone. As parents, we don't want to spank our children. That's the last resort. We try timeouts. We try redirecting. And if we have to, in the end, we use that discipline only if necessary. So I want to see them be held accountable, and I'm hoping that we as a public will know how they will be held accountable. It's definitely apparent that there needs to be change. I want to know what the consequences are going to be. Are they just going to get away with it? I shot and killed this man because I thought. You're not getting paid to think. You're getting paid to do a job and do it well. And I hope that there is some change and also that they will be held accountable. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Really appreciate it.
Next three are Woodrow Broadnax, Derry Jackson, and Reverend Renee Ward. They will be followed by Lisa Haynes, Gary Clay, and Lynn Kirby.
Good evening. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here, Mr. Broadnax. Go ahead.
My name is Woodrow Broadnax, and most of you know me, and people close to me call me Woody. What we're talking about here is behavior, and I need to make this statement. Bureaucratic ordinances is not going to change practical behavior. Therefore, I'm convening at PCC Cascade on April the 10th in room 112 the answers and the solutions to our problems. And I hope to see each and every one of you there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Jackson.
Good evening, honorables. My name is Derry Jackson. I'm here to certainly support Honorable Leonard's proposal. But I want to also make a couple of statements. Number one, operating from a position of fear is also operating from a position of weakness. I don't for a minute believe that the Portland police is afraid of anything when they said they were afraid for their life. We heard Joanne mentioned some statistics that were very telling. I appreciate her sharing that with me, perhaps us. It's clear to me that the objective of the police department is to institute fear in our community. It is to administer that. Unfortunately for me, perhaps it's because of my upbringing, perhaps it's because my insurance is paid, I'm fortunate to have a decent job, my kids' education are pretty much covered, I got one more coming, but he's got it covered too. But I'm not operating from a position of fear, I'm pissed off. I am royally pissed off. I educate kids. I try to teach some of the toughest kids in this school right now who are kicked out of other schools. And there's only about 900, a little over 900 police in this city. There's a lot more kids. And we can tell from the reports that we're all hearing how some of them are getting out of control. Now, if this police department don't get their act together, we could probably be seeing more. These kids are pissed off, too. Have little respect for Portland police, or any police for that matter. If they don't get this thing right, the result will be a catastrophic impact to Portland's economic survival. This is not sticking around in Portland alone. This is not going statewide. I'm sure you all know this is all over the country. And there are people who would love, perhaps consider coming to this state, perhaps coming to the city, are going to think twice if you can't get these guys' act together.
Thank you. Reverend?
Good evening. Protocol has already been established. My name is Reverend Renee Ward, and I'm an everyday person, a part of the whole called I'm Everyday People, who sit before you on this evening to say enough is enough. A great poet once said, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Well, I'm Everyday People are here today to say to the contrary. There are words that flow among the households, the offices, the grocery stores, the parks, the stadiums, the classrooms, and even bus rides of law-abiding citizens living in Portland today who are sick and tired of the bureaucracy that exists among those who just don't comprehend the word no. I'm Everyday People are saying no to the further standoff between law-abiding citizens and the above-law perceptions and actions of the Portland Police Bureau and the Portland Police Association, unions, and all related agencies that inflict unsolicited and unnecessary pain, suffering, and cost to a community that already is burdened with the bankruptcy of our educational system, criminal justice system, health system, and unemployment. We say no to any more settlements that you pay out to try to ease the burden of your guilt and the pain of a parent, child, sibling, neighbor, or coworker who emotionally, too, feel the trigger that put the bullet in their back of their loved one. The feeling is priceless, and the city of Portland cannot afford it, and we sure don't need it. We say no to any more disappointments, disillusionments, dishonors, and arrogance of bad apples who have infected the Portland Police Bureau, as well as inflicted a no-confidence vote from law-abiding citizens who honor the law, respect the law, observe the law within its statutes, and all we ask is that the Portland Police Bureau would do the same. We say no to the lack of transparency and cooperation that continues to happen in a tug of war where the casualties are real. Deontay Keller, Kendra James, Jahar Perez, Dickie Dow, James Chassie, Mr. Gruder, Aaron Campbell, and the list goes on, unfortunately, until you folks can have a little backbone of courage, integrity, and wholeheartedly recognize and honor the requests of law-abiding citizens. Another great orator once said that talk is cheap. And I sit here before you to say that it is indeed a fallacy because the record shows that the law-abiding citizens of the city of Portland have shelled out over $7 million in civil settlements since 1992. And I'm Everyday People are here to say that we can't afford it. This madness must stop today.
Because if it doesn't, and you ignore the appeals of the people, believe me when I say, you who expect to continue to occupy the elected seats that you presently sit in, as well as others who posture in hopes of occupying these elected seats, will forfeit an opportunity to make a difference, make a change, and make history because you fail to listen to the people that you serve and act accordingly in their best interests rather than your own. In closing, I'm Everyday People appeal to you become the rule rather than the exception. It's about our families, it's about our community, it's about our children, and it's about time. Please vote yes on this evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
And although I didn't get a chance to truly give you the representation, I am with A New Day Forward. I am the founder of A New Day Forward. Okay. Again, that's April 10th, 3 p.m., sure. 112, PCC Cascade.
Thank you. We're going to take a five-minute compassionate break. We will be back. Yes, exactly. We'll be back at 35 past the hour. We're in recess. 1 minute, hopefully. I can get away with 1 minute.
Oh, man.